Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Yeah, everyone, welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. And this one is being done from Bob Mackwitz's house because I went from Hamilton Morning Radio. I've got a national club meeting, and in between was Bob's place. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Matthew. I'm always ashamed when you come over. You're that friend who you have to tidy up for.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to do a proper you job, but if I would have left it the way it was, you would have shamed me.
Yes.
You're the tidy friend.
Yep.
And I hate that guy. You're the, because I always go to your house and nothing is ever out of place.
Yep.
If something is out of place, it's like there's a plate with a fork still on it on the table. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. It's a disaster here. Whereas I come over and honestly, I won't let you go upstairs right now. I let you use the bathroom in the basement? Not great, right?
Bob, do you know what I had to, my option to dry my hands was?
Oh, that's right. I forgot to put out a towel.
A robe.
My
all
robe.
All there was a robe. Yeah, and I'm like, I can't do that. So I dried my hands on my jeans. There was clothes hanging in the shower in the basement.
It's also known as the clothes drying room.
Yeah, yeah. You know, up here.
Not everything goes in the dryer, Matt.
No, not everything goes in the dryer. The place is, you know, there's stuff everywhere. But hey, you're a dad. You got a kid.
And I'm also a bum.
Yeah.
Right. Like between you and I, we're the Oscar and Felix, and I am definitely the Oscar, and you are definitely the Felix.
Yeah. Like this place is a disaster. And the thing is, if you had three kids, I could understand it.
We do have three kids: Sandra, and Charlotte.
You have one child.
Well,
and that's
okay.
Charlotte.
How about this? There are three kids then.
Yes.
How about that? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this, Matt. Had I not remembered, we were using in the basement. We ran out of toilet paper, and I haven't had a chance to hit the store yet today
because
we're doing the pod early.
Yeah.
And so there were actually dinner napkins down there.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There are dinner napkins placed precariously on the bathtub. Yeah, I saw that.
But I ran upstairs, got the roll of toilet paper, and brought it down because I knew you would probably need to go when you got off the road from Hamilton.
Yeah, but not number duh. I mean, I wouldn't do that in a stranger's house.
Yeah, but you never know. You might not have the option.
Bob, my bowels are trained.
No. No, no, no. What do you have, like Benoit balls that you use to train yourself?
Well, what I do between the sheets is between me and my God. Bob, in the history,
mine was bad. Yours was worse.
In the history of my time at TSN Radio, I have never once used the bathroom for number two.
Really?
Never once.
Really?
Nope.
Have you had to and you just didn't?
Never needed to.
You've never needed. You went there for 6 years, Matt. You were there
seven.
For six, 7 years.
Bob, I am a sphincter ninja. It is control. It is. Which, by the way, the worst Chuck Norris movie of all time. Just a disaster. I've controlled it. Never have.
Can we call this the Sphincter Ninja edition of the pod then?
I'd rather we didn't, but you know.
We're here now.
We're here
now. There ain't no going back.
Yeah.
We got the Leafs to get to because the season opened up last night with a huge, they put up a touchdown against Winnipeg, and we'll get into that, plus your Leafs in six words.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the NFL Week 5 starting off tonight with the Patriots and the Bucks, and some really good matchups coming up this weekend, too. Baseball playoffs are starting up. We've got a top five, which actually goes back to the last pod because Matt threw out a comment about Carey Price being the most important player in the NHL, which is not exactly the same as the most valuable. In the sense that the most, like, you don't have to be the best. And the most valuable player tends to be just who's the best player.
It's McDavid or Crosby.
Right. But we're trying to take it back to what most valuable really should mean, which is you take this guy off the team and they fall apart.
Yes.
With the Habs, I think we can both agree it's Carey Price.
With
him, they make the playoffs. Without him, they don't.
Without him, every Habs fan is updating Craig Button's scouting reports for who they're going to draft. You know, they're asking Bob McKenzie who you know, the scouts he's talked to. That's all. That's
you're not talking about Jonathan Drouin. You're talking about Rasmus Dahlin.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So we're going to do our top five.
That name.
Could have been anybody.
Could have
been
anyone. I would have said, that's right.
Could have been Sphincter Ninja. And you would have been like, what an odd thing to call your
that
kid.
That guy is good. He can back check.
Back check.
In the back. Guess there's four children in this room. All right.
That's a very Jay Onwright-esque delivery.
Yeah, that was.
I thought that we were banning those guys because they stole our bit.
Yeah, they did. They stole what they said. What
they ever
meant.
Get back to you? You're closer to them than I am.
No, they haven't got back to me.
Yeah, they're probably a little busy right now.
A little bit.
Tons to get to, but shall we just start off with takeaways?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right.
Can I dive in with my takeaway?
Go, go, go.
So last night, because we're just going to talk Leafs anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So last night, I'm calling this the Everybody Wants Some, I Want Some Too. Season beginner for the Leafs.
It was Oprah Winfrey. You get a goal. You get a goal.
It was. I don't know if it was a good game necessarily because the Jets didn't put up much of a struggle.
It's a great game.
It was a fun game.
Yes.
It was a fun game. It was a entertainment rewarding game.
Yes.
But honestly, it could have gone either way. Isn't it funny how hockey is? Like, what if one of those goals gets past Anderson? Like, what if he did? Because they had to kill 8 penalties, and 3 of them, what was it, 3 and 10 minutes in the first period?
Yeah, and 6 through 2 periods.
Right, so six. Let's say in that first period, even just one of them gets by.
Mm-hmm.
And then all, because the Jets just looked demoralized out there once they didn't score. I don't know what happened to them. That was kind of a shoddy, shameful performance. But hockey's funny that way. You know, a cheap bounce here or there. They certainly had, what did they have, 10 opportunities on the power play?
Oh, yeah.
I think they had 17 shots on net in the first period.
And some good
Anderson
shots.
Man, was great. That line A one-timer from the Ovi spot on the power play, I was sure that was going in.
It's funny. I was with a group of people from the TSN 1050, and it was the same thing. It's like line A is doing his Ovi right now on the power play.
100%. He's just in that spot. So I feel like the Leafs probably got a little bit lucky, and lucky turned into good. Like once they settled into the game, they took over, and once the Jets didn't score, they kind of crapped out, really. Everybody wants them. I want some too. It was fun, though. Do you not find that you have to hold yourself back a little bit after watching that? Because you know that can't happen every game.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're just, because last year it was also fun, but it was Matthews with all 4 goals. This time it's, you know, it's everyone. It's the new guy, Marlowe, with 2. It's Kadri, Nylander, Marner, JVR. Like, it was an orgy of goals and fun. And you're right. Like, after the game, you just want to run up and down the street. You want to be like Frank the Tank streaking.
We're going streaking.
It was.
It could totally change on Saturday against the Rangers.
Yeah.
I don't think it will, though. I think they're going to start off pretty hot. I give Babcock a lot of credit. The other takeaway I had, other than the obvious how fun that was, Babcock must have run a pretty good training camp because everybody looked really ready to play. Mm-hmm. And maybe the one game is way too small a sample size to make that claim. But even the fourth line, like Connor Brown had more minutes last night than anybody else. Eric Fair was, you know, he's not fast, but he looked competent. But that fourth line was used and played well.
Yeah, Brown's possession numbers. I was reading Myrtle's piece on the Athletic. Connor Brown, you know, played, you know, even though he didn't score, played great.
And so it just felt like that team, you know, Lou Lamoriello saying we ran a very competitive camp. They looked like they hit the beginning of the season ready to go, and the Jets did not.
By the way, just a shout out to Lou. No one has a better poker face. He looked miserable when they were up like 5-0. I remember they showed one ISO shot of him. He had the joie de vivre of a pallbearer. And that the person in the coffin died young. Like, that was Lou Lamoriello's facial expression.
Whenever he speaks, I just think of Mayor Quimby. So I always imagine him at the podium. We played a good game, but there is room for improvement.
Yeah.
Kevin Cheveldayoff looked like an unhappy GM.
Yeah.
They went to find him after the third goal in the press box and he was already gone,
yeah,
you could just see that he was in the hallway dropping some MF bombs. Bad start at home. Okay, so Steve Mason.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, if you're going to bet the over, make sure if Mason's in net, you got a good chance.
There's 1,000 things still to get to, Maddie, but what's your takeaway?
My takeaway is that, and we'll stick with Leafs takeaway, yeah, is that Frederik Andersen was the babysitter. It's like, okay, all you guys can run around and early on, a little bit undisciplined and be crazy, but Andersen was there to make sure that everyone was in line. Because there was some high leverage shots. There was some good opportunity.
Especially in the first.
Yeah. And so we sort of touched on it. So, I mean, that was, to me, Frederik Andersen, I called him the babysitter. No crazy rebounds, good rebound control, and just no chaos. There was not a lot of chaos in front of the net. That was my takeaway there. My other sports takeaway is...
Are we off the Leafs?
No, no, we can stay on it. We can stay on the Leafs. Okay.
Because we still got Leafs in six words to do.
Yes, we do.
And I figure we'll cover a lot of material there.
Yeah, we still there. Other one, Kadri. Kadri went from, you know, the guy that, why is his name being called by Mike Babcock? To score in the preseason. To score in the one goal, which is nice. Just rebound, stuck with it. And on Marlowe's second goal, it was all Kadri. It was Kadri just, you know, just driving the play on the one board, fought off the one defender. Nice feed to Marlowe. So I know that Austin Matthews' goal and two assists, and Frederick Anderson was great, but
Nylander looked awfully good.
Yep, Nylander was Nylander-y.
The forwards were great.
They were. And so my shout out is to Kadri. Looked great.
He hits. He's become a very good guy on the dot, and just everything. He's energy.
Yeah.
He's energy, and I love the fact that he's out there with Marlowe. Should we dive into the Leafs in six words? Because I feel like maybe by reading some, it'll give us a chance to discuss the finer points of the game last night. Do you want to start off with listener ones or do your own?
I will do my own.
Okay.
And so here is mine. And my tweet was, here is my horrible hashtag Leafs in six words. Steve Mason, more like Steve Mace off instead of Mace on. He was Mace off.
I thought you said you never did number two in public.
So that was mine. But I threw it out there. I'm like, please, people, do better than me. And
they must have.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
Came up with one.
Yeah.
Man, my life is sad. I came up with seven.
Yeah, but also, like, I'm doing it, and then I've got to go to bed to wake up at 4:15 in the morning.
That's true. That's true. And also, you try. Mm-hmm. So what are people writing in?
Yeah. I love this one from Maddie. Gonna build a mountain. That's it. Hashtag Leafs in six
words. Now, that's a reference to the Cialis commercial, right?
No. It's the couple in their new home, and they got to rebuild it.
That's what it is. Right. I was trying to remember what commercial that was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I see why you would say it's a commercial for boner medicine.
It is a Cialis kind of morning, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sun is out. Birds are chirping.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I got a whole bunch that can
read. Well, while you're looking them up, let me read a few.
Yeah. Go.
Sandra took our daughter to skating. By that, I mean Sandra is my wife, mm-hmm. and she had skating last night. Charlotte did. Mm-hmm. And I made it known really early on in the evening. I will not be leaving to go
Good.
And be involved. And I realized last night that I just want to watch this live. Because hockey Twitter is going to be so much fun. Leafs Twitter is going to be so much fun. And it was.
The Leafs are fun.
They're so fun. And I thought back last night to P.A. Parenteau being your big scoring winger.
I know.
And the misery of 2 years ago. And last night couldn't have been any more different. So I'm never going to see my kids skate again. Unless they change up the schedule. But Wednesday nights look pretty taken.
My mom never watched me play one baseball game. I'm fine.
By the way, my follow-up to that.
Yeah.
And this is a Leafs Nation one. And I embrace us all in this. We are going to be insufferable.
Oh, God, yeah.
You can feel it now. Just around the league. God. We are so hated already.
Wait.
Now we're hated and right.
Yes.
And it's going to be terrible because who's going to argue with us? Yeah. We're going to, at the quarter pole, we're going to be one of the five or six best teams in hockey. Maybe not, actually. And I say that just because I'm excited. But
here's gonna be the
we're going to be gloating and proud of it.
And here's going to be the debates. Coming up next on Leafs Debate, Marner or Nylander, who is the better second best player on the Maple Leafs as everyone is high-fiving each other? Oh, it's going to be totally insufferable.
Do you want to read any? I got a few more.
Speaking of insufferable, Bill Eppner tweeted in, plan the Stanley Cup parade route. Bill Eppner, a buddy of mine, so he sent that in. Warden Kent, Leafs are back, wife is gone. That's sort of in honor of one of yours.
Not watching anybody skate.
Yeah.
Just the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. If
I got a few here.
Yeah, do you want to go back?
I think I could have improved upon your mace off one.
Mace instead of mace on.
Leafs open up the mason jar.
That's way better than
it's mine. It's way better. It's not good.
Yeah, that's way
but
better.
But it's way
mine.
Better.
Yeah.
And Nylander won't negotiate in season.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's like the one bad thing that happened yesterday.
Aww.
Was the announcement that Nylander is going to wait till the offseason because you know he's going to have 30 and you know he's going to look great. Mm-hmm. And what did Nick Ehlers sign for yesterday? Was it 42-6 or 42-7?
Something
what was
like
it?
That. Yeah.
Well, I think Nick Ehlers is a great young player, but we're not getting off the hook for anything. And by the way, I'm weeing this. Mm-hmm. I'm weeing and ussing
totally
this because
this.
I, and you know me, you've done radio, sports radio with me
yep.
for years, and I am not the wee guy.
Yeah, well, that's because we were doing the show together. Peter Horchek was coach. So, of course, we weren't we.
When the team
it's like when your kid fails math and you say your kid is not doing any homework.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's like it's like, wow, Horacek and the Leafs, those guys suck. Now it's, hey, did you see what we did last night?
Quick sidebar. I remember when Randy Carlyle was fired and I was talking to one of the TSN hockey analysts in the hallways just before they had announced what was going to happen. I said, well, it's going to be Horacek, right? And he goes, it can't be. He's terrible. There's no way they're going to give him the job. He wouldn't even be the fourth choice for any other team. Not going to say who, but let's just say that the Leafs went that direction.
Yeah,
and they became not our team at that point.
Nope, they were them.
Oh, I got us. A good one here. Can I throw this out?
Of course, go.
I think you're going to go with I think you'll like this one. 2017 Leafs, I'm going to use the date as one word, are like 2015 Jays.
Yeah.
That this is a team that is just built to score and score in bunches. And are there holes? Yes, there are.
Yep.
And are there ways that they could lose in a 7-game series? Sure there are. But they are going to be so damn fun to watch. And they're going to win with firepower. So, yes, the 2017 Leafs are like the 2015 Jays.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and here's the thing. Every team has holes. So, and the Leafs are certainly one of them. And yeah, a perfect comparison.
Now, are you stalling right now while you try to find another Leafs in six words? Because you're not really looking while you're talking and you're scrolling and
here's my
not
favorite
making
one.
A ton of sense. I'm just kind of repeating what I said.
That's true. I totally did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes, they are like the 15 Blue Jays. Carrie Watson writes in, my favorite new Leafs wine, Marlowe.
How many of those did you get yesterday?
Oh, that is a great one. Absolutely love that. Marlowe last night, he was like a beautiful Pomerol.
I don't know what that means.
I know you
don't. Is that a kind of dog?
Pomerol is a small apple, a small commune in the right bank of Bordeaux, which prominently Merlot is the number one blend.
One thing I love about you, Matt, and I really do, is whenever someone asks you a question that they really don't care about the answer to, you just keep going.
Just keep
as
going.
Though, like, I don't remember a single thing you said. I heard the word village,
yeah,
and I literally just started imagining highlights from last night.
Lewis writes in, just give us the cup already. Love it.
Love it.
It is time for just expectations to go through the roof.
Here's one for you. Mm-hmm. Nylander, Matthews, Marner, once a game. Doesn't have to be a line.
Yep.
I understand it's not the most sensible line, but just once a game for fans. Just to throw it out there. The nuclear option. Just put those three out there. One shift a game.
Yes.
Just for fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see what happens.
And you know what? There needs to be like... where the Leafs bench is, just like a red light that suddenly goes off when it's like, uh-oh, it's time for the Nylander, Matthews, Marner line. Like,
I love it. Or some kind of like steam whistle that goes off behind the opponent's net.
A bat signal goes up, you know, into the night sky. Would love to see that.
It's a picture of the baby New Year from those old Christmas specials because they're so young. So you got the baby New Year up there. Here they're hit. We need to think of a name for this offense. Because the LA or the St. Louis Rams back in the day had the greatest show on turf, and the San Diego Chargers way back when under Dan Fouts were Air Coryell. I feel like this offense is going to be so good that we're going to have to start to think of a name. Maybe not yet. It's just been one game, but just let me park it out
there,
as a placeholder of a thought.
Yeah, we need that. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. The whole offense, the forward group, needs to be called something.
Yeah, like ML Force. Forward. Yeah, we'll work on something. Ryan Ward, Leafs score a touchdown, line A sacked. Colin Kennedy writes in, six words, I'll take seven goals.
Ooh.
Hashtag. Ooh, and he put the hashtag mace off. That's catching on. Catching on.
It is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So also, because Patrick Marleau was out there with Austin Matthews and scored. Mm-hmm. And the observation was made, not incorrectly, that perhaps Zach Hyman is not capable of doing what Marlowe did in that moment.
Yeah.
I still think Marlowe is better off with Kadri. I really love the scoring balance that you get through those three lines. And I guess you could probably shuffle them up any way you want and still have balance, but I loved every time the Kadri line with him and Marlowe were out there and you just felt like, man, this is just... they're rolling one line after another of superior quality.
I'm going to get the stat a little bit wrong, but I saw this board up on TSN during one of their preview shows the other night. And the first line scored like 56 even strength goals. As these players on these three lines, what they did last year. The second line for the Maple Leafs scored 49 even strength goals. The third line scored 49 even strength goals. So they can just roll out line after line after line, and it is balanced, just to add to your point there.
So that's all I really got for the Leafs right now. I guess we'll get back to it because we're going to throw out this top five most important players to their team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now, just by way of preview, Auston Matthews is in my top five, but is not number one.
Auston Matthews is not on my
top
five.
And for you and I, salary cap considerations matter. Mm-hmm. It was also the size of the contract, because in today's NHL, we determine quality by value. And so the amount that you cost the team has to be factored in.
Yes.
It kind of unfairly tilts it towards those on rookie contracts, because the jump from a rookie contract to a $7 million a year contract is pretty big. Tried to, you know, negotiate that so it wasn't just a list of five exciting ELC players. But Auston Matthews, not my number one.
He is not in my top five. Plus,
he's not your top five. Not my top five. It's on an entry-level contract, you idiot.
Not in my top five. I knew he'd be on yours, Bob. I knew he'd be covered.
I called you an idiot. I meant it, but I'm sorry that I did it.
I feel shame. Later on the show, we're going to do, what can the media, what can we do to make hockey more fun?
Does it need to be even more fun?
Does it need to be that?
Because I would speculate it doesn't need to be more fun. At least not in terms of the broadcast.
I've got a whole bunch of things at the broadcast that people can do to make the NHL even more fun.
Matt and I worked at TSN for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And much more talented people than he or I took a crack at this.
Yes.
Rarely asking our opinions,
if
we may be frank. There was not a lot of Matt and Bob, can you get to the boardroom quickly? We need to improve our product, and we need to know what you guys think.
I don't know why Millier and Johnston didn't email me all the time. I have thoughts. First thought I used to have, Satan. Instead of Miroslav Satan, his name had to be Satan. That would make the NHL more fun back in the day. Satan scores! I had many ideas like that, and better.
Mace off.
Before we get to top five most important players in the NHL, not named Carey Price. Also, I had no goalies on my list. It's too easy. So I don't have goalies. What is the latest, Bob, with you and your school, your daughter's school? You're on like parent teacher, you know, you're on boards, you're on committees. I love the fact your school, your daughter's school is taking Friday off, a PA day. That's handy on a Thanksgiving long weekend. What a racket.
So at this very table that you and I are sitting at currently, the dining room table where we're recording the pod, on Monday night, mm-hmm. there were a bunch of moms from the school over and me, and we were just talking about transition to
You're
power.
You're Michael Keaton.
I am
Michael Keaton from Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom. I am Mr. Mom in this hardcore. So we sat and for about 3.5 hours talked about just how the school works and
transitioning.
3.5 hours from 7 till 10:30. The next night I got a call from my friend Colton, whom I work with as part of the Strombo team, and everybody was going to see Ghostbusters at the Royal Theater at 6:15.
Yep.
How exciting and fun does that sound? Because the team's going to interview Bill Murray, and so we're having a Bill Murray week.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. Fingers crossed I get to meet him. Fingers crossed I can hang out with him a little bit. I'll let you know if I do, because we both love him.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a fun night, right? Hanging out at the Royal with the... But I couldn't, because it was curriculum night. And I had to go and speak.
You had to speak?
I did. Talk about what the parent council does to the other parents who are assembled in the auditorium.
So did you start? to all the lazy parents who don't give a bleep about their child, my name is Bob Mackowitz, and somehow I got roped into this BS job.
So this gets better, Matt. Not only did I not go to Ghostbusters with my friends so I could go to the...
And the original
night.
Ghostbusters.
The original, not the Kate McKinnon one.
Yeah, because...
I've never even watched all of it. I watched about half an hour.
Horrible.
Yeah. The teacher didn't show up.
What?
The teacher didn't show up because she took a whole...
Well, she went to see Ghostbusters?
I don't know, but that would be pretty funny if you fire up her Instagram account later that night and she's got the popcorn on her lap.
George,
and...
Digging Ray Parker Jr. Hashtag 80s over again.
Love it. Wearing a Slimer t-shirt.
Yep.
No, she never showed. And so we actually didn't talk to anybody. So literally I missed a night out with the friends so I could go and speak to the auditorium of parents for 90 seconds.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I've got my first board meeting next week. I'll tell you all about it, but I'm spending the weekend going, honestly, I can't call it up now. I don't want to waste your time with it, but I have never had a job where I've gotten more emails in the course of 2 weeks than I've gotten for this council. I'm not joking when I say we may be close to triple digits in terms of emails that I've been part of in the last 2 weeks.
I am afraid. I would love to see your Gmail, your Hotmail, whatever email account you use, how many emails you got in your inbox.
You know when you get to the point where you don't even read them anymore? You just scan for...
No, I don't. I read them. I delete them. I manage them on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, you are good about that.
Yes.
But you probably have toilet paper in your bathroom.
I do.
You probably have towels on the towel rack.
Yes. Yes, yeah, I made sure for our Airbnb, plenty of toilet paper for all the guests.
Maybe I'm the slumlord. We always laugh about how you and your Airbnb are the slumlord, but your place is beautiful. Maybe I'm the slumlord of this decrepit castle we call home.
Are you the slumlord like from Les Miserables? Is that you? Are you the master of the house?
No, clearly not. So yeah, it's going poorly,
yeah.
But I'm learning a lot, mostly about how stupid I am for having volunteered to do this, but it continues on. It continues on.
You do 1 year of it, you never have to do it again.
I could never have done it and never had to do it again.
Yeah.
Woof. So there's that. So what do you want to get to next, buddy boy? Oh, I got a baseball thing I want to throw out to you, if I may. Because May is the best sports time of the year. I don't think there's any question about that. The month of May is the best sports time of the year.
No.
Yeah, you've got NBA playoffs. You've got NHL playoffs. Baseball is in swing.
But you got no football.
Yeah, but does it have to have football? And you've got the CFL, Matthew, just around the corner anyway.
You do have, yes, you have CFL preseason in
right,
May.
Which is exciting.
I think it's a debate for another day, October versus May.
Okay, why don't we make that the big question for Monday? Because it'll be Thanksgiving Monday, so we'll do, what is the better time of year, October or May?
Maybe, but let's face it.
Oh, it's now, Matt.
No.
Baseball save playoffs, the NFL. Okay.
Save it for next week. By the way, though, Monday's podcast, it's going to be a lot of food talk. Who's kidding? Who? It's Thanksgiving. It's going to be so much food talk.
It's going to be a stupid one because we're both going to be turkey stoned.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So you got really great matchups today. You've got the AL starting up, and tomorrow you've got four games. Friday, four. How beautiful is that? Now, Kaz and I have this running thing about Clayton Kershaw. I am a Dodgers enthusiast. Wouldn't call myself a fan. I love the Jays, but my National League team is the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I support them and I follow them. And I love Clayton Kershaw.
Who doesn't?
You. Because you've gone out of your way to say how many times he is a bum in the playoffs.
It's a fun sports take.
All right. But it's not entirely incorrect. He has struggled in the playoffs. Like Alex Rodriguez for years.
Yeah.
He's the best player of his generation, but wasn't playing well in the playoffs.
He was at one point intentionally walked in a playoff game. And, you know, it was one of my favorite moments.
When someone was walked to get to A-Rod?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes, exactly. I said that wrong. Yes. Someone was intentionally walked to get to A-Rod, and A-Rod then grounded out feebly. It was against the Indians. It was hilarious.
The only thing worse is the pop-up. So Kaz and I have a Kershaw bet, if you're willing to accept it, okay?
All right.
Now, you can't do wins, because wins don't really mean anything. Mm-hmm. You could have seven great innings and...
Give me the numbers, Bob.
All right. So here's the bet. I say that Kershaw will have 25 strikeouts... over 25 innings, at least, like those are minimums. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to go wins. Yeah. But during this postseason, Kershaw will tally at least 25 strikeouts and 25 innings on the mound. Do you go over or under? I guess you could call it 24.5 if you wanted to. Do you go over or under 25 on strikeouts and innings? Now that would mean at least five of each for five games.
Mm-hmm.
He could go six strong, and this is tough on me because he could go six strong and then you go to your bullpen. We know that starts don't last as long, but I'm predicting that the Dodgers will have him on the mound at least five times, and it'll average out to at least a quality, it would average out that he is eligible for the win.
Well, first off, like five starts, I expect more than 25 strikeouts from...
Lose in the ALDS, or what if they lose in the NLDS, though?
Yeah.
Then he doesn't. He's going to have two starts.
Bob, it's a lot more fun if I take the under and do the bet. All right.
I'm taking the over. And here are the stakes before you take it.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the 25 bet.
Okay.
I don't drink, so a bottle of wine is useless. But I will buy you any bottle you want for $25 or under.
Yep.
And you have to buy me any entree I want for $25 or under.
Done.
Done? Okay, shake on it.
Yeah,
all right, we're shaking. You can't see or hear
can't
that.
See but, it, but it's
all right, so that's our baseball bet.
All right.
We'll call it the Kershaw 25.
The Kershaw 25. I like it.
Do you got any more takeaways you want to do?
No. We'll get to top five.
NFL?
In terms of NFL takeaways, Cam Newton's a jackass. The Patriots, I'm not going to at all be concerned about them. Going over my list here. The Bills, they're going to beat the Bengals. The Bills are going to have another week of being in the news. Actually, you know what, for me, the number one thing I can't wait for this weekend is Seattle versus the Rams.
That's the game of the weekend.
Because Jared Goff right now, third in QB rating, 7 touchdowns, 1 INT, but more importantly, number one in average yards per pass. So that means not always a lot of dinking and dunking. He's throwing the ball downfield.
That's a really good stat, because usually when a young guy is doing well, it's because you've tailored the offense.
So Bubble screen.
Yeah, they're throwing screens over 10 yards. Yeah.
So I want to see Goff and the Rams, who everyone is excited about, against a Seattle team that's playing far poorer than anyone expected to start the year.
If we were back on the air and we had access to technology and production value. I guess we're on the air now with this pod, but if we actually had a team around us and technological stuff, I would call him, Jared Goff, and Todd Gurley, the G's. And every time we talked about LA, we would roll out Ain't Nothing But a G Thing.
Yes.
Can you figure out how to do that? You're our tech director. Can anybody figure out how to do that? Because that's too good, Matt. They're the LA G's, and then we would play Nothing But a G Thing.
Yeah, imagine.
Come on, that's good.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Can you do it? I got to learn to do it. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn to do this. You know what?
Bob, you said you were going to start an Instagram page for the Macko and Cause podcast.
How do you know I didn't?
Actually, I wouldn't. Have you?
No.
Okay.
But I just wanted to point out we're both useless.
Hey, I'm dealing with the
Matt, I had 6 meetings for the school council.
You had a 3.5-hour meeting.
Followed up the next day by another 2-hour thing that actually only lasted 90 seconds. But anyway. I would say Seahawks and Rams by far is the most interesting game in terms of quality. I feel like one of those two teams is going to make a big statement this weekend. You know, statements in the first half of the season don't mean much, but if LA can beat Seattle, a team that they've, you know, it's divisional, there's a lot on the line here.
Yeah.
Just in terms of how you look at yourself as a team, that would be a big statement, because Seattle's a team that tends to get better as the year goes on. They haven't looked great, but you could tell they're probably getting a little pissed off at people writing them off. They may not care that much. That's a kind of a veteran move. We've been there before, but couldn't you see Seattle just showing up and destroying them?
I feel like it's going to be 31-0 for Seattle.
If I had to bet, and I'm not a betting guy, but I would definitely take Seattle.
Yeah, so
because they are way better than they've played so far.
Mm-hmm. The other one of interest, the Chiefs are 4-0, but Washington probably should have won that game. Josh Dotson dropped a perfectly thrown pass by Kirk Cousins. Going up against Deshaun Watson, he of 5 total touchdowns the week before. So it's the Houston Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's a really good one, in that both teams might be way better than we tend to give them credit for, or they might not be as good as they're playing right now. You feel like whoever comes out of that game, like if Deshaun Watson puts up big numbers, he's going to be the talk of the league.
Oh, he is.
Right? Because he's kind of on the cusp of that now.
He is a good game against the Chiefs way. He's on the S, like just... It's going to be on the Sports Illustrated cover. Like, unless like Tiger Woods somehow swoops in and steals Serena Williams and impregnates her while signing Colin Kaepernick, you know, I'm trying to get 100 things at once, but like, I don't know anything that's going to stop a Deshaun Watson SI cover if the Texans beat the Chiefs.
So you mentioned those 4 teams. You got the Seahawks and the Rams, and then you got the Chiefs and the Texans. So those 4 teams, the only one anyone really believes in is Seattle, because they've done it before.
Yeah.
The other 3 teams are classic. No matter what happens, I probably still won't buy into them. And in the Chiefs' case, it's probably not fair, because the only real reason is that people don't think Andy Reid can win a Super Bowl.
And the
Am I not right about this?
Of course.
They're 4-0. Yeah. They have looked terrific. They destroyed the Patriots, or at least for a good stretch of the game, and on the first night of the season. They have looked really good. And yet in the back of your mind, do you not always say, but Andy Reid will F this up?
And you know what the shame is? Andy Reid went to 4 NFC Championship games with a quarterback who's never going to go to the Hall of Fame, in Donovan McNabb. When does that happen? Usually the teams that go to 4 NFC Championship games and go on to a Super Bowl, you know, have a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Bills, they kept going to the Super Bowl. They had a Hall of Fame quarterback. He took Alex Smith, a retread, and made him a certainly above average quarterback. He gets like 11, 12 wins a year with Alex Smith. Like, you find me another coach that's won as many games with non-Hall of Fame or a lot of times even Pro Bowl quarterbacks than Andy Reid.
All right. So if you had to put money down on who you think would go further in the playoffs, because we'll assume that Kansas City will be there and Houston is maybe like better than average chance, let's say, at this point. Who do you like better? If you had to take one team as your playoff team, who's going to go deeper with that line? With their Andy Reid and the Chiefs, J.J. Watt and the Houstons.
I'm going to go
Houstons, the Texans.
The Texans. I'm going to go Andy Reid. I'm going to go Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I think they have more weapons. I think they have more weapons on offense. It's a shame they don't have Eric Berry is gone for the year.
That is really sad.
That's a big hit for Kansas City. But I'll still take KC. As great as Deshaun Watson has played, he's also missed a lot of he's missed a bunch of throws as well. But he's a rookie. I'm not going to say anything negative about him.
When the NFL season started, we both talked about what we anticipated, and I thought it was the twilight of the idols, and we would see the last kick at the can for the really good teams that we've gotten used to for the last 10 years. And maybe I was wrong. Maybe those teams are starting to fall off already, and it's time for someone else to get up there. This just might be one of those weird transitional years where there are no great teams, but there are some young teams that are gaining steam, and the turnover is about to happen. So maybe the Chiefs are at the top of that pack.
They are right.
People thought it was Oakland, and it's certainly not going to be Oakland without Derek Carr.
It's not Oakland. People, the Titans were getting a little too much press than they deserved. People thought New England were going to go 16-0. They're ranked last in defense. And my favorite is the Jets. Their head coach, Todd Bowles, is telling that the team can't get too big-headed. Imagine in October.
And they're playing the Browns this week.
Oh, I know. Imagine it's October, and the head coach of the Jets, one of his concerns is the team's ego. No one would have seen that coming.
So I really want the Browns to win this weekend for a variety of reasons, but mostly because Deshaun Kizer, the poor guy, if they lose, he is going to be written off as a bum.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be heaping scorn on his head, even though he plays for a bad team and a bad organization. He's going to be another rookie quarterback who's thrown in over his head. And because he doesn't perform miracles right out of the gate, people dub him a loser.
Yes.
So please don't let them go to 0-5. This poor kid deserves a better chance at life.
Very well said. But this was his destiny. You go to Cleveland. His college head coach said he wasn't ready for the NFL. By the way, it needs to be said before we move on to the top five. In the middle of Bob's adult dining room table is a hardcover book, Marvel Spider-Man Character Encyclopedia.
It's a lot of good info in there, bud. It's my daughter's.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yes.
Damn, your daughter reads at way above her age. Good for her.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
I'm glad she likes Spider-Man.
You know what's funny? I thought it was yours.
Really? It could be.
Could be.
Like, I'm not going to pretend that I don't enjoy reading it with her. Mm-hmm. We actually played this morning where we played 20 questions about Spider-Man characters. And so we would flip through the book.
Yeah.
Like, for example.
Yeah.
And I would land on a page. Okay. And then I would start reading attributes about it. So, okay, Flint Marko escaped from prison and stumbled on an atomic testing facility. And you would have to jump in as soon as you know who that is.
Rhino.
Sandman, you idiot.
Yeah.
I called you an idiot twice in this podcast. That is.
It's very hurtful. Am I angry at you? It's very hurtful, Bob.
I know. What's wrong with me?
God.
Yeah.
Top five?
Let's do it. So, Cos brought up a really good point the other day, just talking about the Habs and how much we were loving the fact that they are headed for the iceberg right ahead. Mm-hmm. They're not looking so good. But when you have Carey Price, he can paper over a lot of problems in your roster. So then we got to, okay, take Carey Price out of it, because we both felt like he was the most important player to his team. Who are the five most important players to their team? And I understand that there's an MVP award, but they always give it for just who's the best player, which isn't the same thing as value, because you can be a really great player on a terrible team, and if you were to be pulled out of that roster like a Jenga piece, the whole thing would crumble, but with you, it's okay.
Yes.
So that's our top five. And cap considerations matter.
Yes, they do.
Because valuable means value. Mm-hmm. Value means how much you're getting paid.
Yep.
And what the team could have instead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you start with your top five, and then I will poke holes in it.
Okay.
Because I already disagree with it.
Yeah. We have, by the way, we have about 18 more minutes.
Okay.
So we also have the big question, which is how to make the NHL more fun. I'll go number five, and I'm going to stick with it. Even though he just got a contract extension, I don't care. Jack Eichel signed the 8-year, $80 million deal. And this is why he's important. Because it's impossible to get a star. Or it's so hard to get a star. And it's even harder to try to attract a star if you are the city of Buffalo. Could you imagine the NBA, a guy who is 20 years old, who put up the kind of numbers that Eichel did last year in 61 games, had 57 points, and then deciding to stay in Rochester for 8 years.
Cause, I love that pick. On my list, he's number four, even with the contract, for all the reasons you said and more. He's and, a point-of-game player on a terrible team, and he is going to anchor that club moving forward. And it's only a matter of time before Toronto and Buffalo becomes, I mean, fingers crossed, but if that becomes the great rivalry in the conference, man, that would be fun to be part of.
Third last in goals last year. They can't miss him at all. Also, he can make Oposo and Kane better players. Going to be on a line with them. So
for however long they have him. They got Eichel for a long time, and that makes them, that gives them something.
Number four, a team that a lot of people think is going to win the East. And because of that, I will take the 26-year-old anchor on defense, Victor Hedman. And you got to remember, Strahlman is solid, but he's 31. They brought in Girardi. He's 33 years old. Vasilevsky is going to need all the help he can get up front. So at number four for me, in terms of a guy that is so important, is Hedman. You look at almost all the other defensemen, the first two lines, 31, 32, 33 years old. You got the young kid that they got from Montreal, Sergachev, 19 years old. So to me, Hedman, number four for the most valuable player for his team.
Okay. I don't have his contract number in front of me.
I do.
What is it?
It is he gets paid $7.8 million a year.
That's a good number for him. I don't know that Hedman would crack my top five, but he's absolutely a good pick. Like he's certainly worth consideration. So far, Matt, you're doing okay.
Coming in at number three, he's in the third year of a deal that is going to pay him $7.5 million to 2022, Tarasenko. 116 goals over the past three seasons. And he's done that he's never really had a great center. Let's see what Braden Schenn does. But when you look at guys like Steen and Boumeister, they're entering their mid-30s. No other guy from St. Louis has hit the 30-goal mark in the past three seasons. Plus, Robbie, is it Fabry?
Fabry.
Thank you.
By the way, minus points for calling him Boumeister, but...
Boumeister.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suck.
Oh, unlike that great Hall of Fame coach, Scotty Bowman,
that guy. I mean, whether it was Montreal, Detroit, that guy adapted.
And the old Ottawa Senators coach, Rick Bowness.
Yeah, but not bad. He wasn't bad. The Booner. Fabry is out for the year.
You mean like Bone Jenner?
Sure. What's that guy up to? Fabry out. It just puts more pressure on the forwards. So Tarasenko, number three.
All right. I don't know that I would put him that high, but again, once a great player. And St. Louis is a dark horse to win the Cup this year. Mm-hmm. And if they do win the Cup, then I think we're going to have that coming out moment for Tarasenko, where the league goes, oh my God, he really is that good.
At number two, Pasternak. Just signed a six-year deal worth $6.6 million, 21 years old. And part of this is Krejci, 31. Backes, 33. Bergeron, 32. Marchand is the one, though. He's 29 and is still the best player on the team. But David, second on the team with 70 points, second in goals. He is going to be the key guy on the second line with DeBrusk and Krejci. And remember, with Chara and Tuukka Rask, this is a team that's built to win now. We don't talk about Boston, but you know, if you're going to have Rask, like, you're wasting this guy. So if you want to get back up to being an elite team in the East, I'm going to put Pasternak at number two. And also, part of it's his age.
I really like him to break out as a star in the NHL because he's kind of there already. And you can see in the next year or two, he's going to gain a lot of notoriety for how good he is. But Boston's not very good. And I just have a hard time putting him in the top five because there's such a... I'll put it to you this way. It's an interesting pick. I don't know if I would go there.
He represents youth and talent and the future of the team.
And if you took him out of the lineup, maybe they would bottom out. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And finally, number one, Captain Obvious, Erik Karlsson. Yeah. I mean, I could go into the reasons about how this team has very little offensive skill and how just, you know, you take him out. Just there's not a lot of like their top six forwards. None of them were in the top 35 in goals this year. Kyle Turris led the team. I mean, they're hoping more from Bobby Ryan. But Erik Karlsson is funny. Every talk about the Senators, it's will they make the playoffs? Depends on Erik Karlsson. That's my number one.
Okay. Now, I like some of your picks. I agree with you on the Eichel. Karlsson's also my number one.
Yep.
Just because they really don't have anybody else. And it doesn't matter who you put him next to. He's going to be good anyway. Like, Mark Methot's gone. Who are they going to skate next? Who's going to skate next to him now? Dion?
Yeah. And a Dion fell. Hey, they got Johnny Oduya. He's 36.
Apparently, they want him to play with Cody Ceci. But it doesn't even matter who you throw out there. Like, Karlsson is just going to be... It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He's and people have given Guy Boucher this classic narrative about how his defensive approach has made Carlson the great player that he always could have been. This drives me crazy because you know what coaches, I believe, secretly hate and probably fear? Unique talent. Because you know what you can't do with unique talent? What you're used to doing.
Yeah.
That Carlson is a unique talent. And how does a coach all of a sudden take that and harness it and get the most out of it when he does things differently than what they've been taught to tell everyone else to do? The whole argument of if he doesn't learn how to hit more or get more involved in the game or care more about the defensive end, like, sure. But then you take away the fact that he's like this Bobby Orr-esque fourth forward out there that redefines the game as he's playing it.
Yeah, especially on a team with not a lot of great offensive skill in their forwards, it makes what Carlson does that much more important.
In football, I think a coach probably enjoys it more in basketball because it's easier to scheme around a unique talent. But in hockey, I don't think these guys have ever embraced the challenge of there is a player that can do things that other players can't do.
Of course not.
Not that he's better at it, but just that they can't do it.
Coaches are scared cowards who hide behind structure and defensive responsibility and 200-foot players, and they run away at the idea of let's harness offense.
Now, the idea of a 200-foot game, obviously, is of some value.
Well, hate it.
I kind of like it in the sense that we're playing in all zones.
Play yeah. one zone, the zone where the opposing goalie is.
Well, Guy Boucher is not exactly the guy you hire if you want fun. But I secretly believe this, that players who are distinct and different, coaches hate them. And I think you see this all over the world. You see this in businesses all the time. Somebody who doesn't do what all the other widgets do in the office. You know, Homer Simpson showing up in the pink shirt. Wait a minute, Smithers, stop the security tape right there. What's this man doing in a pink shirt? Erik Karlsson is the pink shirt of defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
And Bart's hat is nice and red.
All right.
So who's your top five? We've got two crossovers.
Yeah, okay. Bobrovsky has to be in there, Sergei Bobrovsky, because last year he had a 2.06 goals against average and a 9.31 save percentage. And I throw him in there only because John Tortorella wins the Jack Adams. And I can't stand when they give the Jack Adams to coaches with okay teams and incredible goalies.
Yeah.
That makes me nuts. Agreed. So just for all the goalies out there who have made their coaches look good, I'm kind of on an anti-coach rant right now. But
It's your aversion to authority.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I do have one. Then I've got Jack Eichel.
Yep.
Number three, Connor McDavid. Now, I know he makes a ton of dough. A ton. I can't remember the exact number, but it's somewhere around $12 million. And he's the best player in the game. He's going to be somebody's Lemieux. But more importantly, I mean, even going back to last night, how incredible is that rush off wing for that first goal? It just blew past
everybody.
His first
two goals were great.
But all the stats show that when he is on the ice, Edmonton is a high-quality team.
Yep.
And when he is off the ice, they are fine at best. Scoring chances, meaningful events, they all happen when Connor McDavid is on the ice. I don't know if there is a position player outside of Erik Karlsson who is as unique on his team as Connor McDavid. And the fact that he's so great, it's weird. Sometimes this happens with really great players is that you don't even know how to talk about how great they are.
You got
to
invent new adjectives.
You really do. Like the best way I can say it is he's going to be somebody's Lemieux. Like you and I grew up with Mario Lemieux. And every time he hit the ice, we were amazed by him. And this generation now has that.
Yep, absolutely. Like the only adjective would be something from a Dr. Seuss book.
Fantubulosis?
Yes, he's fabu-amazing.
He's a wampoozer?
Yes, exactly.
Wampoozulous. The wampoozulous Connor McDavid. Number two, and this is where we can get into the debate here, buddy. It's got to be Auston Matthews because he doesn't cost a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
He's on an entry-level contract.
Still
and we said
is.
That cap counts.
Cap counts.
And the Leafs had the fifth highest scoring offense last year. He had 40 goals in his rookie season. Every time he hit, I think it was five different streaks of three games in a row where he had scored. I think he had done that five different times. This kid is incredible, and he costs nothing. Now, eventually, he's going to cost a fortune. But who are the Leafs without him on that first line?
They just moved Nylander. They just moved one of their other terrific forwards up there, and they're doing fine.
Yeah, because he's on the line, though, Matt.
No,
him out of it.
Take him
off the team, and where are the Leafs? That offense is certainly not as explosive.
It's not as good. And listen, I
brought out a jar to make my point. Now, can you please, I pulled this out of the fridge, put it on my eggs this morning. Can you explain, just read what that is?
That is hotter than hell hot sauce.
Right. From where?
That is from in the Cayman Islands.
Right. When we were in the Cayman Islands, we went, bless you. See, even holding it makes you sneeze.
I'm an aggressive sneezer.
Now, you can put Frank's hot sauce. Mm-hmm. I put that blank on everything. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. And it gives food some zip. Without Matthews, wow, you're going to sneeze again.
Maybe.
I love it. Without Matthews, the Leafs offense is probably Frank's hot sauce. With Matthews, it is the Cayman Islands hotter than hell sauce.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
Number two.
I can't disagree with any of them.
Does he not mean more to the Leafs than Tarasenko means to the Blues?
Hey, listen, you wanted to go more obvious. I wanted a little more hipster. Put a little more time and attention.
Well, you want to go hipster. You want to hear who's just on the bubble? Mattias Ekholm, who makes 3.75 a year.
Yep.
And I know Subban makes 9, but his shot suppression is amazing. And he lets all the other players be great around him. Mark Scheifele. Also there. Anyway.
You're number one.
Carlson.
Oh, yeah, Carlson. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I still haven't heard
a good reason why you think Matthews shouldn't be on that list.
Because there's so much talent at forward.
That's the Crosby argument.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah,
you've got Malkin just behind
him. And you know what? You're right about the contract one. I guess it's because I'm expecting any day now that we've set that the ceiling is Connor McDavid, the floor is Jack Eichel. We know that Austin Matthews, within the next couple weeks, because this is the NHL where players never get to be free agents. He's going to sign his 8-year, $88 million deal. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be so boring. It's going to be Connor is 12, Jack is 10, Austin's 11. It's going to be totally Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
That's probably true. I wonder if that'll happen.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I like that as a prediction.
It's totally going to be it.
So we don't have a lot of time for the big question. Do you still want to get into it?
Yes. Question, what would you do to improve how hockey as a sport is covered? And the main theme is fun. Make the game more fun. So I got a couple ideas I want to throw in. You can...
All right, well, you start because I'm gonna go against the very premise.
Okay, and that's fair. That's fair. I want a camera in the penalty box, and I want it to be like a Big Brother confessional. And there's going to be 3 questions asked to every player who goes into the penalty box. Why are you here?
I got to answer that.
Then... do you deserve to be here? And how much did the ref screw up? Those 3 questions to every player. How much fun would that be?
All right. So penalty box confessionals.
Penalty box confessional. I would encourage more teams to have their Twitter accounts like the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And that us in the media, we celebrate it and we rank it, you know, and we encourage it. And we talk about how wonderful it is. And we don't dissuade it or poo-poo it or anything like that. We don't get upset or clutch our pearls when a player speaks out about how good they are. They get cocky or they celebrate. We embrace it. We don't get angry when players make contract demands. We ask better questions between periods. You know, get their favorite recipes, their favorite movie. Don't ask about, you know, how they've got to hustle more on the back check. We got to find a way to end the mainstream media versus analytics community and those sort of debates. We've got to shame players who dive. We've got to make more fun of Gary Bettman, and we got to get players on Good Morning America.
That's quite a campaign stump speech, man.
Yes, there it is.
So it was too much for me to take point by point.
I know, I'm sorry.
It was a bit of a deluge, but it was passionate.
Yes.
I don't know that the game, at least in terms of how it's shot, needs to be more fun. I think it needs to be more exciting. And I don't know if hockey can do that. Let's think about, what would you think about a blue ice surface? Because the blue ice surface has tested better for visibility of the puck.
Love it. Try it for a year. If it doesn't work, go back.
Do you think that hockey would ever do a blue ice surface?
Never in a
thousand
years.
Like Boise State has their blue, their blue field in NCAA football.
Love it.
That, to me, is a much more progressive thought than all the stuff that happens now, which is, let's do profiles of the players. And sometimes those, I don't mind that for the pregame. I don't mind that a ton if it's going to be there's some big matchup and you get to meet someone's family or find out more about how they got to the NHL. Sometimes there's personal struggle stories that are really great. But in the game itself, I don't know that it really needs to be more fun. I think it just needs to be shot viscerally. TSN's always done a great job. You know what I love? One up, one down. I think that changed the way that we, maybe not a ton, but it's certainly for the better, changed the way that we watch the game. Having the analyst down on the ice surface, being able to see different things and tell you what's happening inside the bench. Do you not love when you hear, and then of course the cameras, you know, searching for these shots.
When they're chirping back and forth and Ray Ferraro's in the middle?
100%.
Yeah.
You know, or Ray Ferraro will say, so-and-so got back to the bench and doesn't look too happy or is getting an earful from the assistant coach for missing an assignment.
And they cut to the shot of Ray, almost like he's peeking in on the conversation. And you know, the players are either, you know, getting yelled at or pouting. Yes.
Love that.
Love that.
Now, I think what happens more often than not is we lose sight of the fact that sports fans want sports. that it's not like other shows.
Now, that's true. That's always the debate between fun versus just hardcore sports.
You and I have always been you're the funny guy in the room, and we've both sort of always been seen through our careers as the not conventional sports guys.
Yes.
So I think they always look to guys like you and me and say, oh, like, how do we make this thing more entertaining? How do we make it more? But in the end, anytime they give us too much sway, the audience doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. The audience wants analysis and intelligence. They want to be made closer to the game and closer to what's actually happening.
But and you know what, Bob, you're 100% right. And it's always about that fine line.
Think about what you like in football. You don't want goofy. You want like plays broken down and X's and O's explained.
But I love Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser.
You did not.
I did. Oh, I absolutely did.
That was the worst.
I loved it. You know why? It was different. And it was one game. It was one game. There's 16 NFL games played in a weekend. If one of them where the voices sound a little different, I was fine with that.
Well, you make a point about it being one game. I think that that's a fair point. Isolated as it is, it's a. The only problem is it was the crown jewel at the time. It was supposed to be the game of the week.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they took over the Browns and the Jets from this weekend and had some fun with it. It was the destination. And that was before there was Sunday Night Football, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So it really was the destination. And it was on ABC. So just the wrong place to tinker with the formula.
I'd rather Browns Jets be called by Cousin Sal and Jimmy Kimmel.
Which would be fun.
Which would be great.
Maybe as an alternative feed, people would enjoy it. But it would be small numbers of people who really got into it. There'd be a small, dedicated number of people that thought it was fun. Almost everybody else. Think about Tony Romo. If Tony Romo doesn't have interesting stuff to say, he doesn't last.
Yes.
It looks like he's going to, though. Mm-hmm. And Troy Aikman was great in that position before him. These are the guys that matter because they explain the game. Being taught something is fun, especially for, like, I'll lump myself in. I probably spend more time with sports than the average person has time to.
Yes.
Because we were paid to do it.
Yeah.
So we were able to spend 10 hours a day looking at sports. We better know more about it than
the average bear.
The average bear. But I still want to learn. Like, there was nothing better than having somebody who really can explain the ins and outs of how something works.
But I agree. I just think, like, things like sideline interviews or between periods, you never get anything good. But Bob.
Okay, the sideline interviews can go because they don't yield anything.
They don't yield anything. And we got to wrap this up. But
we
just,
do?
We do.
Okay,
we
do. Do you feel like hockey's not fun enough?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think there's ways to make it more fun. Don't take
on the ice, like the actual on ice presentation of it?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Again, my stump speech from 6 minutes ago, I'm not going to review all my points, but I'll say this. How much fun would it be to see the video of every player as they go into the penalty box, like some guy who hooked Crosby and Crosby clearly dived, and the reporter goes, so why are you here? How great would that be?
Okay, if they actually answered, I will give you this, then yeah, that would be pretty great. But I'm sorry to be the not fun police here. It's just one thing that drives me nuts is things done poorly in the media.
Yeah.
And everybody always half-asses their way through these kinds of attempts at fun. And the only thing that anyone ever really sticks to is love the game, show it better.
Monday's podcast, Thanksgiving, going to be a lot of food talk.
What are we going to do? Should we do a top five Thanksgiving kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, like top five side dishes. There's going to be hot pie talk. Oh, my God, it's going to be glorious.
Should we just do pies?
Sure.
Because, what if we did this? Top five seasonal foods. Because you've got cranberry sauce, which people only have at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Pumpkin pie, which people only have at Thanksgiving. What about top five foods that you really only ever enjoy on one day a year?
Done. Love it.
All right.
Bob, I got to use your bathroom again, so I'm going to dry my hands on your robe.
Hang on, I'll get you a towel.
Ooh,
I'll get
you a towel. I'm at Shangri-La here. I'm getting a towel.
So I get you a towel for your hands, and at your Airbnb, you steal hotel stationery and write little love notes to your guests.
Yes.
Man, you and I are different.
Bye, Bob.
Here, and wait a second before you go. Okay. Take the Spider-Man character encyclopedia. It's a good read.
Okay, yeah.
Ooh, take it with you.
Ooh, Iron Man.
Flint Marco.
Bye. Chica.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.